Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
The name's Dan. I mean, sorry, 13, Dr. Clean here with you.
Oh, dang it, I messed it up. I'm 15 windshield wipers. Shoot. Okay.
We'll roll with it.
Okay, so today we are two-thirds of the way through A Memory Called Empire, up to chapter 15, I believe. I've got a little bit of a warm-up that maybe has a small connection to this book.
Ooh, okay. Warm us up, Luke.
I want to talk a little AI with you.
Ooh, okay. Okay. We're getting a sponsorship? Are we getting a sponsorship, Luke?
Probably not, based on this. But I'm curious. I've been trying to work out, like, when I'm comfortable using AI and like what my use cases are for it. And to be clear, I'm talking about generative AI. I'm talking about LLMs.
You're talking about like ChatGPT and stuff like that, right?
Like ChatGPT. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to be precise because AI means a lot of different things.
When are we going to reveal that we've been AI the whole time? Is that now?
Cut that.
Okay.
Cut that. So have you wrestled with this at all? Do you use it at all?
Yeah. So we talk about this a lot. I teach. I'm a college professor.
Yeah.
And we talk about this like literally every few days.
I thought you might.
Campus. Yeah. I literally I've like ran a faculty training workshop 2 days ago about this. So nice. Yes, it's very... it's very present for me. Honestly, I try and use it a lot more often than I successfully use it.
Okay.
And the use cases that I have found, that work are like if I am writing a quiz, like a multiple choice quiz, and I need the wrong answers, I have it generate a bunch of wrong answers to a question.
Sure.
Because it's just like, it feels like the perfect application for it because I don't have to verify
it. That's a good use case.
And it just like, I can just pick. I tell it to give me like 15 bad ones. And then I just pick the four that I think are the most likely to be interesting for students.
That's like, good. Yeah, sort of. Because you don't want to do like, you don't want to use it to actually generate the questions.
No. Right. Now, I have in the past used it to like, rephrase a question different ways.
Yeah.
Like I'll write a question and say, you know, figure out a couple of different ways to say this because maybe there's a more clear way to phrase the question. But mostly I'm trying to keep my intellectual work me doing it rather than the computer doing it.
Right.
But
because like my thing is I've become a little bit less worried about the like environmental impact and more worried about the like my skill degradation if I become reliant on it. So that's basically my biggest like my North Star on what I can use it for, where it's like, am I using this for something that I will lose that skill if I continue to use it?
Right. Am I offloading this skill to the AI?
Yeah, because there's a lot of times where like it would be much easier if I could just use it. But I know that if I do that, I'm like, I'm going to suck at writing forever.
Yes.
If I just like get used to this.
Yes.
So I've been trying not to. However, Dan, I have found a phenomenal use case for this.
Okay.
Outside of the one that you already gave, which is a good one.
Okay.
But this is going to be a little bit more universal. You use ChatGPT to help you complain to customer service at companies that have wronged you. This is my use case because
this is perfect.
Dan,
this is so perfect.
It's not a skill that I want to develop or have.
Yeah.
It's a thing that I avoid doing because I don't want to write these emails. And so I just like, if something happens, I'm just like, well, I guess I'm taking the hit.
Oh, this is so
because I'm
good.
Because I'm not going to complain right now. But it's been great. two examples so far. Mm-hmm. I'll give you. I ordered some clothes that I thought were going to be the same size because I'd ordered the same size previously. They were a different style, but they didn't fit me as well. So I was just like, hey, this was final sale. Write up an email seeing if you can get them to give me a discount. And it worked.
Oh, yeah.
like I had a couple back and forths with them, but every time it would be like, respond to this email saying, I don't know, something. Yeah. And it would just write it and I would just copy and paste it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The other one, my partner actually had like a terrible flight experience, mm-hmm. where it was like a stuck on the plane. They had to like land at a different airport. They couldn't get off the plane and they had to like take off and they like barely got any snacks.
Oh, no snacks?
Anyway.
No pretzels?
No snacks. No extra snacks. And so then like normally it would have just been like, I had a bad flight experience. Whatever. I made it anyway. A friend of ours was like, sometimes if you complain to them, they'll like give you stuff. And so she did this. She did, hey, ChatGPT, this is what happened. Generate me an email to send to like American Airlines or whatever. And it did. And then they sent one offer back. And then she did ChatGPT and was like, is this enough miles? And ChatGPT was like, no, you can probably get like 15 to 20,000. And she was like, okay, generate me another email to get more. And it did, and they gave her more. And so she got like I don't know the conversion rate, but it's like $300 or something like this, that worth of miles.
This is incredible, Luke.
It's amazing.
This is what it's for. This is exactly what it's for. Because my use is nice. My use saves me like 5 minutes of time. This saves not only time, but like emotional work that you don't want to do, right? Like,
and you don't want to get good at.
Oh, this is so good. We've all been looking for the use of AI. We've all been trying to figure out what it's good for. Guys, this is it. We're not in a bubble, guys, because Luke just unlocked the secret. Luke found the value in this stuff.
That's right.
Because I will say, it's not a great writer, okay? And like if you offload your writing to it, your writing just sounds like ChatGPT, which when the student does it, it's easy to tell. It's like, I know you didn't write this, fam.
Yeah.
This is so good. This is really good. Yeah. the thing that... I think this is great too because I have tried to use some of these platforms for the thing that they claim they're the best at, which is like coding and stuff like this.
Yeah.
I have yet to get one of these platforms to give me code that works from it. Like I've had to change it in some significant way. Man, this is good, Luke. This is good. Listener, go out. Speak to customer service. It's also polite. It's never going to be rude to these people. Honestly, they might just be two generative AIs talking to each other, which is fine.
I know.
For me. I honestly don't care if that's the case.
That's great.
It should.
But yeah, so far I'm like 2 for 2 on this use case. So,
yeah. Incredible. Incredible. I don't know the last time I actually complained to a company was.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I have either.
But I feel like there's an opportunity here now.
Fill it up. Fill up their contacts. If you have any qualms whatsoever, send them an email.
If you're not actually satisfied with the product, like they all claim, you should be.
I know. It's like perfect fit, guarantee. Whatever, whatever, guarantee. If you don't like it, we'll send you your money back. Hey, ChatGPT, I didn't like this. Like, it was fine, but I didn't love it. Write me an email. Boom. Amazing. You could even be like, who do I send the email to if you don't even want to?
That's so good.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's really good. That's really good. Sidebar here, Luke, because Dan had a question about AI, environmental impact, and things like that. Some people are talking about the water usage of AI. And I was like, what does that even mean? Because it's not like the computers are drinking money. And so I looked it up, and there's like three categories that it falls in. First category is like the production of the chips and stuff uses water. Yeah, fine, whatever. It doesn't, it's taking clean water and, you know, converting it into dirty water, whatever. Other use is like cooling, water for cooling.
Yeah.
The chips. And some of these platforms use like evaporative cooling. So they're taking clean water, sometimes potable water, running it through an evaporative system, and it's evaporating or whatever. And then there's like the electricity generation, and they're talking about also evaporative cooling, but, or like, no, the steam for the turbines, right? So it's heating up water and running the steam through the turbines. From our discussions, water is like a cycle, right? It's like a system that sort of like iterates. So isn't that just going to rain kind of back down into the system?
Well,
like,
okay.
Tell me what the concern is here, because I don't know what the concern is.
So the concern is basically like, is it using a lot of water in places that have water shortages?
Right.
So like one example that you talk about is like, a lot of places use water to as like an energy generation thing, because you heat it up and it turns the steam turbine. So like one of water's main use in the United States is energy generation, but those are all in places that do not have water shortages.
Okay, basically. That's what I was figuring.
And so it's like a little bit less of a concern.
Right.
So it'd be misleading if you're like, US uses X percent of its water on just turning turbines.
Right. And so because in places like, where there's not use, in places where there's not a water shortage, it doesn't really matter that we're using this water because there's plenty of water to go around. Is that
right? I mean, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter at all, but like, yes, basically.
Okay.
Because
obviously, and then like, for the go ahead.
For the like evaporative cooling and that kind of thing, like a lot of data centers are being put into like Arizona, for example. But the reason is because of like cheap energy and like political reasons, like land cost and that kind of stuff. And like that does have a problem for water because evaporative cooling, like it evaporates and it stays in the system, and but it like rains somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we actually needed that water here.
right.
And so that's kind of that's the main issue.
I see. Okay. But in a place that like has enough water, in a place where there's not like a water shortage right now, it's not really a huge issue if a data center is using some water.
In that case, it's more the energy cost, I think. Yeah.
Which is a problem. It's a pretty big problem. But it's fine. Whatever. Okay. Thanks, water, Luke.
It's fine. That's right. It's actually 15 windshield wipers.
Sorry, 15 windshield wipers. Speaking of which, Luke.
Speaking of which, let's talk book. Up to chapter 15 in A Memory Called Empire.
Luke, I'm going to get us started.
Okay.
You mentioned last time that these people have too much leisure and that's what's causing their problems.
Yeah.
I found more evidence of this. I disagreed with you at the time. Now I agree with you because this like poem rap battle they did is the single piece of evidence it took to convince me that these people are very unserious and have too much time on their hands.
I have a few notes on the poetry stuff, but yes, go off.
The like Mahit is our main character.
Yeah.
Mahit is standing there like they are referencing hundreds of years of poetic literature. Some of it's not even good. For these like rap battles about infrastructure, what she like can't even participate because it's so beyond her level of ability to just use the language. And I'm like, where are the people doing, I don't know, like engineering or like like what's going on? Why have we teched this far into the language tree that we're having these kind of insane rap battles? They have too much time on their hands, Luke. It's too good for them. They need some pain. They need a little bit of badness in their lives.
Okay. Let me say two things. My first is like full agreement with you, because the note that I wrote down is basically like the ability to just do poetry fluidly, like off the dome, like they're showing here, is a skill, but it's just like a completely indulgent skill.
Yeah, like, for sure.
It's you're just showing off to your friends about a thing that you can do that like doesn't really have any like utility other than showing off to your friends, basically. Right.
I think this is a huge part of it. I think the fact that they're doing poetry not to like touch some deep part of the human experience. They're doing poetry to, exactly like you said, to show off for their friends. Like it's all a big, it's a game. They're not doing poetry because it like speaks to your inner like soul. It's like a reflection of your inner life. It's just like, this is clever. I can do poetry because I'm clever.
Right. To be clear, this specific circumstance where they're doing a little rap battle type thing, like a lot of people are doing poetry presumably for the like artistic aspects of it.
No, if I they guess. Are that much though, because even the like the big hitter who comes in, it's seemingly he does poetry and the interpretations about it are not like, wow, how did that make you feel about what we're doing? The interpretations were like, oh, dude, he slammed those two emperors in that poem. Did you hear him? That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get like political protest is an important part of poetry. It seems to be the entirety of a lot of what this poetry, at least that we have heard, is going for.
It's the kind of thing where like the form of speech and like the skill demonstrated has completely taken center stage over what is actually being communicated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel where it's like, well, I don't know, because in this case they're like, they do this analysis where they're like, oh, this means a war is coming somehow. This one is a little bit weird to me. But like, I don't know. This isn't really how you do. This isn't a good way to run a government, right?
Well, I mean, it's sort of like a Versailles, right? It's sort of like convincing the nobility they should all be doing poetry rap battles rather than trying to usurp the emperor.
Sure.
Right? So maybe it's really good for the emperor. He's like, yes, yes, say more poems.
Right. And then okay, so my other point that I was going to make is that this is a like very small and presumably non-representative portion of the population.
Yes.
And we get a lot throughout this book of like how infatuated Mahit is with this culture.
Mm-hmm.
But the culture is just like poetry. And it's not clear to me if that's just like a very elite hobby, I'll call it. And if like the rest of the population actually does this that much. Because okay, this is an empire of like trillions of people and people that have come under conquest, right? And so like and a bunch of different worlds. And so the culture has got to be incredibly diverse beyond just the poetry, right?
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I think this is sort of like, it's sort of like a lot of young people really, actually, to use a warm-up from last time, a lot of young people are like infatuated with New York, right? There's something about a young person seeing New York as like the center of the world and wanting to go there and like be a part of it. And like, I think this is what Mahit's sort of young life was like listening to Broadway musicals in the car and like being sort of enamored by the center of what they saw as like the center of the world. And
right,
so this sense that they do poetry there and it's sort of like elite makes it feel like if you can do it too, you're clever in the same way. Like you get to be special and like one of the movers and shakers in the world, the people that like are actually sort of in charge and see the like real life. And so long story short, not everyone has a New York accent. So for sure, like normal people, the people who she's not interacting with, who are just like doing protests and stuff. Well, even then though, well, okay. The people in the city, I think, are definitely going to be steeped in it. But the people in other planets are probably just like drinking it in through like movies and stuff. But I doubt they're like really talking like that all the time.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
But it does seem like the like normal people in the city are doing this. Like the protest they went to, it's like written in poetic verse.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I will say the they go to a neighborhood that's like a mile away from the palace.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
I guess
I would assume that that's probably like also just like like people that work at the palace that like are just.
That's true. I guess I had thought that they had actually gone a significant distance away from the palace. I was like, oh yeah, they're just in like a neighborhood. They just went down to the Bronx or something.
I don't think so.
No,
I
mean, the planet's huge. So
we'll also consider that this is the capital city of an empire of trillions. So like the amount of people that are here that are like elites are, he's got to be insane, right?
Yeah.
Just around the city. I don't know. I do think that you're right, that there's a big part of this is Mahit going and being infatuated with a culture that is not her own, but she's always been like obsessed with, kind of. Mm-hmm. The thing that bothers me is that like the culture seems to be just like poetry and flowers, and it's like there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, there's like epics, like stories,
yeah,
but they don't have a monopoly on stories. What are you talking about? Like
no. I mean, there's also a lot of like bloodshed, there's also a lot of violence.
A story that has violence about like a succession. This is the first thing I'm hearing about that.
Yeah.
That is uniquely whatever this empire is called. I'm not going to try to pronounce it.
But, I mean, I guess... So, the bits at the beginning of the chapters do a good job of contrasting Lizelle Station and the Texic Clan or whatever this empire is.
Sure.
Because the station is all about, like, practicality and, like, directness and... like preservation, and the empire, at least the city, is all about like opulence, like this poetry and like flowers everywhere, to the point where they're eating them is like so opulent that I can imagine it just would seem so, I would seem awesome if I lived on the station, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
So I And honestly, I think that's part of how the empire functions, right? Is the city has to look like a wonderland for people who don't live there.
Yes. I mean, I think overall, like, yes. In terms of aesthetically, absolutely. I will say there should be a heavy dose of, like, wariness.
Mm.
Because... this is a station of, I think they say like 30,000 people, adjacent to a massive empire that is known for like wars of conquest and bloody succession.
Yeah.
So like, even if you're like, oh, the like capital city, they've got some cool stuff going on, I still feel like there would be a little bit of like, yeah, but they're like murdery boys, so
yeah, but we don't want them to come close at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's kind of hard as two young white men from the United States. It's pretty hard for us to put ourselves in the perspective of somebody on a colonial, like who grew up in a colonial
right
region.
Right.
But yeah, but they've got the Fast and the Furious. Luke, have you seen any of those? Because they're pretty cool.
That's true. That's true.
So that's culture. That's culture, Luke. Have you seen a Marvel movie? That's called culture.
Well, but like, there's a lot of worlds here that are part of this empire, right? Mm-hmm. And they're presumably putting out content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we just considering that also their content?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I think so too, but like I have to imagine there's quite a lot of variance.
Well, either that or it's like really centralized. Like maybe the city has a pretty good stranglehold over distribution, you know?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They run sure. They run all the movie theaters everywhere.
Yep.
Okay. So you're not seeing an indie movie, okay? You're not seeing Hundreds of Beavers. You're seeing Iron Man 6.
That's right. Sequels all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's true. That's actually true.
It is true.
They're just doing sequels all the time.
They're doing 15 basically. Seasons of TV. And
actually, it's less sequels. Well, it's a mix of sequels and reboots. Live action reboots.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Which are great. I'm going to bounce a little bit off of something that I said a minute ago, which is LaSalle Station
mm-hmm.
being really small and kind of within the sphere of influence of this empire. And I just like, how have they stayed independent?
Mm.
Because so what's happened here is that the empire has decided to go on another war of conquest because they want to, I guess. And they're just like gonna go in the direction, they're not going at LaSalle, but they're going in that area of space. And so that means just LaSalle is gonna be taken over, I guess, as a yeah. side effect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious how they have managed to avoid this so far.
Okay, I think two reasons, Luke.
Okay.
The first is they're tiny. So they're like not really worth the Empire's time. Like they sell some like metals resources to the Empire, mm-hmm. but it sounds like up until this point, the Empire is perfectly fine to just pay them for that.
Yeah.
And so they don't need to like take over the station or whatever. They are also between another big empire. Did you catch this?
Is this the alien one?
Yes. The like Etten. People.
Ebrecti or something?
Ebrecti. Something was. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are like kind of close to another scary
mm-hmm.
big scary.
Well, they have the jump group. Gates, I guess.
Yes. Well. And they're sort of between the two of them in this jump gate sort of no man's land.
Right.
They're also really rude.
Wait, who is really rude?
The LaSalle Station people. They smile with like all their teeth.
Okay, yes. That's been very important. The mm-hmm. difference in the smiles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really a key thing.
So they're just kind of weird, and we don't really want them to sit at the same table as us.
And lunch. They're tall as
yeah,
well.
They're kind of jealous of how tall they are, actually.
No, but like, okay, I think it's a good point that they've kind of just been somewhat unimportant, but also weirdly located. The thing is, this is should be a big fear for them, right? If they're, mm-hmm. if they're worried about being taken over, it's like yeah. you're adjacent to an enormous empire that is known for wars of expansion.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, we'll send an ambassador, I guess. No follow-up.
Yeah.
Just one?
He's really good.
But he's
he's really good, Luke.
What is going on?
And he's got the
collective, why do you guys not care?
He's got the collective memory of every single one of them. So that's like sending like 30 ambassadors.
Well, they also there's a little bit of a thing here. I forget if it's at the intro of one of the chapters or if it's actually in the main text, mm-hmm. about like kids from LaSalle wanting to go to the Empire, and so they leave and settle in the Empire.
Yes.
Or something like that. Right?
Yeah.
Where are they? Like, hey, you want to live in the Empire? That's great. You can be part of our staff, our ambassador's staff, so that our ambassador doesn't have to like rely on the generosity of random other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, well, okay, first of all, Luke, I don't think that's super possible in the city, because at the end of the day, they're going to have a citizen opening doors for them, which we went on. we talked about at length last time, so we don't need to harp on it again. Sure. That being said, there are definitely other tasks for people to do, like respond to simple info requests.
Yeah, that should be the diplomat's assistant's job. Or something.
Yeah. Where are they? Luke, where are they? Luke, you know this isn't the only ambassador, right?
Ooh. Okay, tell me more.
This is just the ambassador that was into poetry. You know where the other ambassador went?
To the handball game.
No, to the aliens.
Okay. Well, yes, of course. Of course.
I'll bet their staff is bigger. I'll bet there are a lot more people that were like, I want to hang out with these weird deer, like four-legged deer aliens. I don't really care about poetry. I want to see some shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where most of the LaSalle people went, is they went with the ambassador who got to hang out with the cool the literal aliens, not just short people, okay? Like,
probably,
literal aliens.
Most people on LaSalle are like, I'm not super into poetry, actually. And so they were scrambling. They were like, who can we find that is into this stuff?
This is actually like the B-tier ambassador position. The Mahit is not the best of the best. Mahit is like, we gotta send somebody to this empire.
I think this is absolutely true, because Mahit says a couple times that like the reason she's there is because of her aptitude and like interest in the poetry stuff.
Yeah,
right. But like, I'm gonna contend she's not a good ambassador because of one specific scene.
Okay, what is it, Luke?
They're at the party.
Mm-hmm.
And the ambassador for another world.
Oh yeah.
Comes up to her and is like, hey, we just got assimilated. It's basically, it's, you know, pretty weird situation, but we've found like a good way to manage it, and we don't actually get bothered that much.
Yeah.
Feel free to come join our club of other ambassadors for other worlds, where we talk through this stuff and give each other advice. And Mahit is like, how dare you speak to me? And then she like insults her and leaves.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, this lady outranks you because her world is bigger than yours, presumably.
Correct. Yeah.
And also, like, what do you, you just get offended when people give you advice?
Right. This ambassador comes up and is like, hey, tough luck, huh, kid? Well, hang out with me. Let's commiserate a little bit. And Mahit's like, she like spits on her feet and is like, shut up, dog.
Yeah, it's insane. It's an insane response.
Especially to her face. Like, I could see if she like bad talked her afterwards to like Three Seagrass or something. Yeah. Because it's like, yeah, she is being a little offensive, being like, don't, you're going to get assimilated soon too. Like, we'll talk about it. It's a little bit presumptuous. It's a little bit like,
what? Maybe. I don't know if it even is. I didn't even read it that way.
Regardless, though, it feels so like unnecessarily posturing. She's like a little chihuahua barking because she's off leash. And it's like, what are you doing? Stop it.
It's bad.
Yeah, a bit full of herself.
Yeah,
whatever.
I do agree with you though. We've got to see what's going on with the other aliens.
Yeah, well, that's where the other ambassador is, and all the helpers and all the assistants.
I want to see their movies.
Yeah,
what are their stories?
They got to be crazy.
Okay. The other thing. So they have to communicate between them and back at the station, right? So they're sending their little scrolls,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Yeah, we worked on this cipher that we've came up with a plan for based on this dictionary. You just have to have the thingy, and then you kind of do it all by hand."
Yeah.
Is this the best way?
They acknowledge no, to be fair.
Okay.
They acknowledge it's not the best way. I think a lot of this relies on the fact that there is so much to do in this empire. They're hoping to be ignored. They're hoping they have anonymity on their side where no one's going to like turn their gaze on it in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. Which we see a couple of times too with 3 Seagrass and 12 Azalea or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Where they're like, "Let me swipe us in and hope nobody checks the like video feed."
Right.
And I think this is the same situation with the encryption, because it's not good encryption.
No.
But maybe it's good enough. And we see at the end here, they're using a lot better encryption because now she can't even open it.
Right.
So
but checkmate. Like, don't you think this is kind of a solved thing already? Like, it doesn't take a lot of resources to just do an email encryption or something.
Yeah, this is the thing I'm trying to figure out, Luke. Why do they have so much plastic? Why are they sending physical... Why are they sending a written down words? Like, why
aren't
they...
It's very frustrating to me, because to me it's all just like, they're like, this is cooler?
Sure. Sure. I can get
but
that.
But it's like,
in the
okay,
Empire.
You guys are going to get wiped off the map because you want to be kind of cool.
Well, I get that in the city, right? Because the city is all about vibes. And the vibes of like cracking open a little glow stick and having the message fall out of it or whatever are very cool. The vibes are cool as long as you don't worry about the like waste and like where is the trash going.
Right.
But for the station, why don't we have a digital communicator, guys?
Yeah.
Just make it like locked to her, I don't know, eyeball or thumbprint or whatever the fuck.
This is why they're so busy all the time. Come on.
They're sending like physical pieces of paper through the mail.
It's insane.
Luke,
I hate it.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
How did this get there? She got a letter from them. It took them like 2 days to send it?
Yeah.
It was a physical piece of plastic, right?
Well, she opened a physical piece of plastic, yes.
How did it get there that quickly?
It's got to be, again, it has to be sent electronically, and then they convert it to the little scroll thing.
Luke, she said when she sent the original, she was like, "Oh, I'm going to put this on the first ship heading out." When she sent her message, she had to send an off-world message.
I don't know.
How did it get there that quick? And they responded. Is there some faster way? Okay, this is it. Okay, hold on. There's a way faster way to get back and forth between these two places. But the station is so unimportant. She is riding on a Greyhound bus back and forth. So that's why it took her two or three weeks to get there. Because they are so unimportant in the grand scheme of things. They couldn't put her on like a first class flight.
Wait, but how did
the
mail get? That doesn't solve the mail thing, though.
No, the mail.
The mail also presumably would not be important.
No. The mail, they can get there quicker. It's on their route.
It's on there.
They've got a little pneumatic tube or something. I don't know.
I think it's got to be the tube, some kind of tube thing. Yeah. Where they're only sending the mail. And because the mail is small, it can go through the... They have a little wormhole that only fits mail. Actually.
Yeah. That's what it is.
But here's the thing. Like, our ambassador has been there for 15 years without giving you guys updates or something.
Right. Right.
Hey, buddy. Hey, I'm going to keep coming back to this. But, hey, you're kind of important for us. This is, like, our relationship with this empire is existential. And so we need you to give us some updates.
How are things going over there? Are they coming to kill us yet? No? That's good.
Are you, like, sleeping with the Secretary of State over there? Is that, I feel like I've heard something about that.
Are you, like, sleeping with the Emperor over there? What's going on with that?
Are you selling out our state secrets to your new buddy, the Empire?
Is his kid, like, 10% you? Is that how that worked?
Well, also, his big solution...
Right.
Is to essentially use the Imago devices as like leverage to allow them to remain independent.
Yes.
I think
it's like a contract he wants to sign with the Emperor.
Yeah, but it's like you probably should have just stuck with being unworthy of notice, because like I just want to emphasize the size difference.
Thank you.
Here.
Yes.
Because do you like, are people understanding how many people 30,000 is? That's like a moderately attended football game.
Yes. Yes.
Compared to an empire of trillions. This would be like, I'm trying to even scale this, right?
Yeah.
To like the US, for example. This would be like the president of the US, not even talking about who it is at the moment, meeting with like the leader of the study group of one of Dan's classes is like the scale difference here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Luke, I want to build on this, actually. Because space, an empire in space is very different from an empire on land. An empire on land, the borders are, like, they don't grow in the same way that the borders of a space empire grow. So a space empire is going to grow in three dimensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the surface area of a sphere. And as the sphere gets bigger, that surface area gets a lot bigger.
Right.
So if this empire is as big as we have been led to believe, what are the odds that the direction, the random direction the empire decides to go in next is your tiny station?
Yeah.
Small, I'm guessing.
Very small.
But I get that there's a couple of jump gates nearby. You want to know the best way to maintain your, resilience or your independence? Maybe you could just blow up the jump gates if you're that worried about it.
Well, like, okay, if the jump gates are valuable, sorry, you're at a station of 30,000 people. Like, you are getting steamrolled. You have nothing.
Get over yourselves. That's what Luke and I are saying. Get over yourselves. You have nothing.
The only thing you could do is be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Go on through. Please, 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 please. Go on. Yep. Don't even. We won't even talk to you.
Don't mind me. I'm just going to sit over here.
That's your only option. If you like attract any attention, it's like, oh, I'm done. Right?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Which I think is why everybody on the station is terrified of the fact that their ambassador is like friends with the Emperor.
Yeah, what are you doing, man? This is like, I get that you're showing off by being ambitious and stuff like that, but it's not the job.
You're supposed to just like sign off on documents and go clap, golf clap at the poetry slam. Okay, you're not right. supposed to be friends with the emperor. That's not how this works. I'm glad they destroyed the Imago.
Yeah. Yeah, get this guy out of here. He should terrible. Be giving advice to no one. Very charismatic, though. Super hot, I'm assuming.
Gotta be. Gotta be a stone cold fox. Also, Luke, this secret is not a secret, right? At one point, we said this isn't actually a secret.
Yeah. Well, because... also, okay, the like, she talks about their media, right? They have, like, movies that are talking about it. And it's like, all right, so what the... So...
I forgot about this. That little intro where they're talking about the captain consulting his Imago device.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... This isn't a secret. Who? This truly the only reason they have made it this long is because they've been so small, insignificant yeah. in the grand scheme of things. And now yeah. they're making a bunch of noise. Yeah. The Pilots Guild of anyone, the Pilots Guild has to be like, what the fuck are these guys doing? They're like, we're just out here flying around. We started this station. And now these guys want to do like slam poetry battles and get the Empire on our ass? No. I'm leaving. I'm taking the ship. I'm leaving.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Luke, I'm going to move us back to the culture of this Empire real quick.
Okay.
So everyone is dressed sort of similarly, at least that work in the palace. They're in like cream with dyed sleeves.
Yeah.
It's kind of a look, not a great one. Stains really easily. Also, not a lot of variation. I get that they're going for a flower motif, but I don't know. I don't love it. What I do think they could do to kind of increase their culture points a little bit, Luke, okay. some graphic tees.
Okay.
Now, can I tell you, do you know what's on these graphic tees?
I mean, my go-to would be like, because I feel like graphic tees, usually it's like a band.
Oh, Luke, we're close. You're very close.
So it's got to be like the poetry version of the band.
Name a number, Luke. You got your number on the back, and the front is a sick depiction of whatever your name is.
So you're like a jersey.
Yeah, but like a personal jersey.
Yeah, okay.
Their
okay,
names are that. Perfect for it. Are you kidding me?
This is true, yeah.
No one's forgetting names in this empire anymore if you're walking around with like... like three seagrass, okay, big number three on the back. On the front, she's got like a really, it's like a turquoise tie-dye shirt with like a manatee and like a huge bed of seagrass over the front.
That looks nice.
And everyone's like, oh damn, welcome seagrass.
Yeah, it's yeah, then you can, it's basically you've got built-in name tags, and you can demonstrate your artistic skill.
Yeah. See? And then we've got another angle to it, right? We've got another angle. It's not just poetry, it's also graphic design.
Yeah, finally. Let's add another version of like facet of art here.
It's like they've leaned way too heavily into the like august, like ceremonial, very like big marble, gold, light, blah, it's boring, okay? Give me something pop art, all right?
Uh-huh, okay.
Give me something for the masses.
You want some Banksy?
Sure. Give me a graphic tee, give me some graffiti.
Okay, I'm into that, yeah. Different styles for different, casual Fridays is more of the graffiti style that you've got going on. Give me some watercolor on certain days.
Ooh.
Sure.
I just think your name is a noun. Put it everywhere.
That's right. Get abstract with it sometimes.
Sure.
Okay. I'm definitely into that. Yeah, because currently it feels very like toga-y. Like, mm-hmm. Again, I keep coming back to the kind of Red Rising comparisons where they're,
yeah,
where they're super into classical art kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and like we get this explicitly discussed in this section where they're like obsessed with the past and they're obsessed with preserving the past. Very Red Rising.
Yep.
Which I wonder if there's like some kind of anthropology or sociology study about fascist empires, like, or just like empires in general being obsessed with the past, like Rome, just Rome.
Mainly. Like, I mean, I think that like a facet of fascism is like obsessed with a imagined past that was better than the present.
And it's always Rome for some reason.
It's frequently Rome, yeah. Oh, man. So, okay, I actually, this kind of brings me to, like, I feel like this empire is very strange.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I'm having a hard time figuring it out because it's very, like, authoritarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people, what's going on with these murder attempts? And then like they're just like, all right, we're gonna investigate, go away for a little bit. What?
Let us investigate. You have to leave now.
You have to go somewhere just different. I don't care where.
Okay.
And then, well, actually, hang on, because that's not even the biggest thing that I'm confused by. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm confused by is that there seems to be kind of like a coup attempt, a slow motion coup attempt by One Lightning, I think was his name.
Yes.
That like the Empire is kind of allowing, or the Emperor is kind of allowing, because like, he's the one, this guy needs a military victory to like gain legitimacy.
Yes.
And the Emperor is like, okay, let's start a war and you can lead it.
Yeah.
And I get that maybe there's some kind of chess moves going on that forced his hand, but like, if you're an authoritarian Emperor, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta do what you want.
I think that there is definitely some chess moves going on here, because I think this emperor, I don't think the current emperor is able to wield power that effectively.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me.
I think he is like trying to maintain this balance, and in doing so maintain the peace, because otherwise, to be fair, he has set up a crisis on his own. Like, he has set 4 people as potential successors to him, which,
well, they also talk about how, so there's upcoming, this succession crisis, they might kick off a civil war, but aren't they always talking about how this always happens in this empire?
Correct. Yes they are. They talked about like more often than not it's a general that's like, ah, fuck it, I'm gonna be the emperor.
Yeah, and Mahid at one point kind of late in this is like, maybe we're seeing, like, I've always thought of this as kind of an inevitable empire. What happens if it ends? And it's like, this is just, they always do this. This is just like a thing for them. This is like their presidential election. They just have a different style of doing it that's worse.
Right. Very different style. One of them claims it's stolen, and who knows if it was stolen or not. And then... Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Way different.
I think so. I read his move of sending this guy off to war as like trying to get him away from the city.
Okay.
I read this as trying to like make him a non-issue.
Sure. Like, I guess while he's while he's making other moves.
Right, because like communication is going to take a long time when he's at the edge. Oh, wait. No, it's not. Shit.
Yeah, they've got the tubes.
They've got the tubes. About the tubes. Forgot about the tubes. Well, yeah, I think part of it is trying to get him out of the way, though. Trying to get him off world, because otherwise his supporters are going to get more and more amped up. Which, frankly, his supporters sound like the worst so far.
Were they the ones that did the bomb?
Is it even like they obvious were, who did the bomb?
They were after the bomb doing some chant thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think that they were the ones that did the bomb.
I don't know if we have the bomb, if we have the perpetrators of the bomb nailed down.
Right.
But they are also just like really obnoxious. And it sounds like their guy isn't even that cool.
Right. Low charisma.
Yeah, not.
Low well, okay, you ready for low res? You ready for my hot take? Yeah. I don't think who the emperor is matters a ton.
No, I don't think so either.
Because he's out here meeting with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing?
He's meeting with the ambassador of a 30,000 person station.
And like declaring the winner of today's poetry contest. Get out of here with this.
You're not doing things anything. To do. You're not doing anything. It is so true. Like, what is he doing? Like, what?
Well, also, like, we talk about the minister, like the minister of science, right? Tin Pearls is like really good because he found a way to run the AI to get the trains on this world synced up, and also the AI for like this city. And it's and like, are you the manager of the city, or are you the minister of science for a galactic empire? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's like, this is this big empire. I have to keep saying it. And like, who, like, you need to be, if you're the minister of science, you care more about science, like, what's going on in the rest of the empire. You don't care about like the running the capital city. That's not that seems beneath you.
Right. This is a person who should be setting research priorities, not making sure that the metro runs on time.
Yeah. That's like the superintendent of the local Department of Transportation.
Yeah, but the trains run really good now, Luke.
How much? What was the efficiency gain? They were already at like 99%, right? Come on.
The more we talk about this, the more I'm realizing how populist this empire is. I feel like he just claimed to make the trains run better, and people were like, oh shit, the trains are running better. That guy should be our science minister. What guy? The guy with 10 pearls on his fingers? Yeah, 10 pearls.
Yeah, yeah. The guy that's really good at like algorithms, we should put him in charge of management. We should get him out of the lab.
Have him manage all science. By himself, apparently.
Yeah.
What kind of a structure is that, by the way? What kind of a structure is it of like one guy is like, I'm going to figure out all the science for this place. It's a very unserious empire, if we're being real. It's not a serious place.
It's insane. I don't know. The rest of the worlds in this empire are just like doing their own thing. And they're like, yeah, we send like 1% of our taxes back. Just like, to kind of keep him busy doing stuff. That's what this ambassador that she spits on is like.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, we mostly just do our own stuff and kind of they leave us alone.
Right. Like they're
just doing nonsense over here.
They aren't actually overseeing us at all.
Yeah.
We actually are basically independent. So
we actually have flying trains.
Yeah. pretty cool. All right, Luke. Well, we are, I think, going to wrap it up there. Just a reminder, we're going to be off the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
In the meantime, catch a good flick, play a game, maybe two.
Complain to your customer service representative.
Please. Anybody who does this and has success, put it in the Discord. Let us know. Let us know your triumphs using ChatGPT to complain to customer service. Only legitimate complaints, please. Do not lie. Please do not lie to customer service about a product being faulty. But if you weren't satisfied, please let them know. Please let them know. We'll be back in a couple weeks. I'll tell you what, Luke. I have the beginnings of a theory here that I've been cooking up. And these 2 weeks, this thing's gonna be simmering. This thing's gonna
You're polishing it up over
this
the next 2 weeks.
This thing's gonna be fall off the bone tender. Okay.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
So get ready, Luke, because in 2 weeks, we'll be back bringing the hot takes
and being dumb nerds.